Good morning and welcome to Westside this morning. My name is Kaylee Hamilton. Usually you are quite familiar with my face on a hosting level, but a couple months ago I approached Pastor Dave and Pastor John and I said, hey, Mother's Day is coming up, gotta remind men. We should have a service dedicated to moms and we should feature moms. And they were like, great, run with it. So be careful when you have ideas around here. You end up in new places. So I'm a little nervous and excited to be Pastor Dave today. He is actually in our Burlington community watching there, which is very exciting for him to be there. And so along with a few other moms who I'm going to introduce you to in a minute, we got together and put this service together. Let me tell you a little bit more about myself. I know you get to hear like the random quirks and ins and outs of my life when I host, but behind me, I am a mom. I've been a mom for 2 years now to the spiciest two-year-old. That's toddlerhood right there. That's Lennon. I made sure I put a picture of myself and then a picture. I don't get photographed with a dog. Not a fan. So that's my husband, Dan, and he's with my daughter, Lennon, and my dog, Waffles. That's Waffles, the one that you guys get to hear about all the time. And I'm really excited to be here today. And as Pastor John said, and Claudia, happy Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a really wonderful and exciting day, but it's also a day that it can be quite painful and a day that can be quite heavy. Sometimes it's filled with a lot of raw emotion that comes up. It can be grief or loss or abandonment. There's a plethora of it, and there's two sides that we want to sit in today, the beautiful, but also the hard. And we're going to hopefully create space and do that today and just know whatever your motherhood journey is or wherever you're at within your motherhood or with your mom, like, we see you and we welcome you. And there's no emotion or feeling that isn't too big for us as a community, but also God. And I'm really excited about that today. My journey into motherhood started in November of 2020 in COVID. I was so nervous. We found out we were pregnant and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a pandemic. The world's ending. What are we doing? It didn't feel like the greatest decision. And it also felt so isolating. And I know some of you who have young children can relate to this. It was so scary because you're going to all these appointments by yourself. You're like masking all this thing. My husband wasn't able to be a part of any of it. And that like was awful. Like it was something that you're so excited and so happy about, but then you have it. And then sadly in January of 2021, at 12 weeks, I lost my baby. In the middle of COVID, and I was hospitalized, and it was like the scariest thing I've ever, I just was so overwhelmed by everything, and I grew so much anxiety from that moment, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do this, like, will I ever be a mom, or all these crazy things that are going on, and then eventually, motherhood did happen again, and I became pregnant again in June, and then we had Lennon in the March of 2022, which was an amazing thing, but that all that anxiety that I had from, you know, having a loss and everything, I realized, like, didn't just stop after 12 weeks in the next pregnancy, it continued. Your first trimester, your second trimester, your third, then there's birth, then there's the newborn stage, and then there's, like, now they can jump off of everything, and then some veteran moms in the community were like, ooh, yeah, anxiety, that's with you for the rest of your life. What? No one tells you that. I was like, oh my gosh. But it was just so overwhelming at times. And I was so blessed to have a community and church that I could lean on moms and have moms and them speak into that and to just love me through that and talk to me through and, you know, oh, that happens. And like, we're now in that, like, we have 1,000 stuffy stage. We have one pair of pajamas I've got to wash every single day. And like those kinds of nuances of motherhood. And I've just been so grateful by the community and how it supported and helped me with all those hard feelings and the start of my motherhood journey that was really rocky and unsure. And that is what I wanted to highlight today is the beauty of community and how that serves us as moms in big ways. And so a big part of that is the mom group. And I just like love these women. And I wanted to talk about them. So this is a few of the things that we've done from September to recently. There's over 30 moms in our moms group, varying from newborn up to high school aged. And this isn't like even all of them. There's pictures with quite a few of the moms missing. We went away for a mom weekend. We get together and have these mom nights. It's been so neat to see it evolved. It was a couple moms and I that were here at Westside for a while, and we decided, like, hey, you know what? Like, we get together all the time. I'm sure other moms want to. And so we had reached out to a bunch of them and asked if they wanted to join us. And it just has grown from there. Now other people invite other moms, and there's even moms not in our church community that are involved in this. And it's just become in so beautiful. So these are features of our actual mom nights. These are kind of low-key our favorites, because we actually get to like know each other and talk to each other. Not with like, don't put that in your mouth. Do you want another snack? Okay, mommy's coming. You need to go pee. Like, you get real conversation at these nights, and they end up being so fulfilling and so fun. Our other slide is just some features of the things that we have done. So we get together every other week, whether it's park or here at the church in the wintertime. Sometimes moms host us in their house. We've gone pottery painting before around Christmas time, and we've done indoor playgrounds around. So we try and rotate the kinds of activities and the things that we do. And then one of the moms in our group, Carolyn, she is so talented in fitness. She's like, I would like to run some mom fitness classes. So 3 days a week, she runs a mom's fitness class. So whether we have our kids or not, we can come to this space. And she leads classes for us, and it's kid-friendly and kid-safe. And she is even such an incredible veteran mom. She, as you can see, she holds the baby so we don't miss a single rep. What a queen. And it's a lot of fun, and it's just even another touch point, and it's so incredible. And even not here is behind the scenes is a group chat filled with all these like funny moments, advice asking, clothing swaps, all those kinds of things, and also all the hard things, like praying when our kids are in the hospital, or walking through separations or losses in our family. Yeah, and it's a really beautiful community that has been a big slice of the healing that I have needed, and the support that I have needed as I've entered momhood, motherhood, because it is so daunting and overwhelming. And today, I just want to give you a little slice of my heaven in that. And as I was preparing this week, I just, you know, I'm praying through it and asking God, like, what am I sharing? Where's my heart? What is important to know? And these verses are what he outlined for me in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He says, so encourage one each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. And in Galatians 6, verse 2, he says, share each other's burdens in the way and obey the law of Christ. And in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, he says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of return is drawing near. And God just reminded me that he is all about community. He is all about the church being beyond the building that happens here. It's about the togetherness. And that's not just for motherhood. That is for all of us. And his heart and passion for the church is to be together in community. And sometimes we need to give a lot to that community, and sometimes we need to take a lot from that community. And that's the beautiful part of all of us being able to push and pull that gorgeous dance together. But I don't want to take up all the time, because the bread and butter today are in the three moms that I've partnered with to join me today. So I'm going to invite them up. I have Sherry, who is from our Burlington campus, and this was actually Sherry's and I's first meeting. She is coming to us from a perspective of not only having raised children, but she is now a grandmother, which is incredible. We have Jean here, who is a veteran mom of four. Sorry, my bad. I cut one of the kids. My bad. And she has been somebody that's been a huge love and support for me in the last couple years since we've met at Westside, and somebody I value as, like, she is the first person to be like, don't sweat it. Just don't sweat it. They'll be fine. Blame it on their dad. It's fine. No, she's amazing. And this is Lizzie. Lizzie and I had the opportunity to meet in life group this year in November, and are now in mom group, and dare I say friends?
Definitely friends.
So I'm excited to have these women here today and to share their hearts. But yeah, I want them to introduce themselves. So why don't we start with Jean on that side? Or I guess Lizzie has the mic. I don't know. Okay, Lizzie, we'll start with you. So you'll see a beautiful picture here of Lizzie's family. All right.
So I'm Lizzie. This is my first Mother's Day. I'm nervous, but I'm excited to share my journey with you all. This is my beautiful family. This is my baby boy, Zeke. And that's my husband and myself and Zeke on our first family trip together. And I'm already crying.
Well, good morning. As Kaylee said, I'm from the Burlington community, and it's a pleasure to be here with my Hamilton community today. And this is my 36th Mother's Day, I believe. I have two daughters that are 36 and 32. And more importantly, I have two grandchildren, mm-hmm. and I've been a Nana. That's my name is Nana. And I have Landon, who is 5, and I have Ruby, who is 2. And as any other Nana, they're perfect, of course.
Yeah.
And I am Jean. I have 4 children. That's my husband and I, and then we have 4 kids. We have Lucas, who's 12, Owen, who is 11, Haley is 8, and Katie is our baby, and she is 6.
Oh, nice. Well, Jean, you have the mic. We'll start with you. Jean, how do you, you're a mom of 4. You even alluded when we were just meeting there that you're starting to enter into the teenage years, which is obviously a new side of parenting and navigating. But how do you navigate your expectations as a mom? You have 4 kids, as I said, and you're in a community. And how do you find, like, how are you juggling 4 children and the motherhood role?
Yeah. Taking each moment as it comes. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a day-by-day process. You know, we all have good days, bad days, tiresome days. I'm constantly reminding myself of the expectations that I put on myself, or the world puts on us as moms. And I think it's just reminding myself that, you know, in our situation, we have 2 full-time working parents with 4 kids in school full-time. And it's just remembering that, you know, you have to have that balance that you can't do everything. Mm-hmm. My husband often reminds me, I'll get stuck in the moment and be overwhelmed, and he'll say to me, is this one of those things that you're putting on yourself that nobody else expects of you? And that kind of grounds me to remember that, like, you know, I just need to show up and be present. And so I constantly am kind of reminding myself of that at the end of the day, my kids don't really care if their sandwiches are cut into Mickey Mouse shapes or whatever. It's just that I'm there and present and engaging with them. And that's what I try and do.
And this is obviously not something that happened organically overnight when your firstborn came out. You were like, yes, I now know how to manage expectations.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. It took a journey with anxiety to realize that, you know, you go through things and you realize that you don't have to be this glowing picture of perfection, and that your kids don't actually expect that of you, that in their eyes, you are perfect the way that you are. And so I think that's something that, I constantly feel and battle and then come to the realization, but it's an ongoing journey and process.
Right. Thank you. And Sherry, would you like to tell us about what it's like being a grandmother? I know, my mom, I'm dead to her. Like, it's great grandkids and nothing. Like, so why don't you tell, that may not be your experience. I'm loved by my mother, okay? I just know where I stand.
Yes, it is a very different experience being a Nana. Mm-hmm. I've found it to be full of joy and contentment, but also exhaustion. But it's a different, it's a very different phase. It's wonderful to see snippets of my daughter in my grandchildren as well and relive that. And have traditions that I'm beginning. So I was telling Kaylee, I always have to have pink lemonade at the house for Ruby, and I always have to have chocolate milk and salt and vinegar chips. And they're staples, but that's something that I do as a Nana. I probably wouldn't have done it the same way as a mom, but it's also being having that listening ear. I don't have to have the answers this time. But I'm a listening ear for my daughter, for both of my daughters, and maybe I don't have the answers, but I'm there to listen and to be there for them, mm-hmm. Regardless of what they need.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. And how, in being a grandmother, you have, this amazing role to, have these kids again, and you said you have them quite regularly every...
Yes, we have the ability to have them for sleepovers. Mm-hmm. So, especially during COVID, it was a weekly sleepover. And it's now, because they're in junior kindergarten and things like that, now it's usually once a month or every 2 weeks. But we have a whole routine. We have songs that we sing in the car on the way to Nana's house, or Papa's house. And like I said, we have the food items that are always available. And we have special books and just different things. And it's a regular routine that we all enjoy. And it comes without the responsibilities that I felt as a parent. It's right. Just the being able to just be there with them.
Absolutely. And how has that also changed? I'm putting you on the spot here, but changed with your daughter as well. How amazing it is to be able to give her that space as a mom, and by taking her kids, but then also, getting that. It's just it's such a beautiful twofold. Like you're building relationship with your grandkids, but also supporting your daughter in that way.
And yes, and I can also then appreciate the things that she's going through because I've had them. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced maybe a little of what she's experienced. So when she's talking to me about situations, I think I have a better understanding. Mm-hmm. And I can listen better mm-hmm. to what she's saying. And yeah, they appreciate being able to have a thought and finish a meal.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned your other daughter does not have children.
No, she doesn't have children, but she has a dog, a golden retriever.
So you're also a fur grandma.
I am, yes. Can I tell a little story about
it? Of course you can. We love dogs.
So my daughter went to Mexico a few weeks ago and left her dog with us, as she always does. His name is Schultz. And Schultz got sick. And I actually couldn't go to church because he was so sick. I had to stay home and take care of him. My husband ended up sleeping on the couch all night because we were so concerned. He was so sick. He didn't get up for 18 hours. He wouldn't get off the floor. We were just so upset, and we take care of this dog all the time. And we took him to the vet, and he was just stressed because my daughter had gone away. But yes, we experienced all that anxiety over our fur grandchild.
And you were like, I will take the grandchildren next time, thank you. That's amazing. That's so lovely that you get to serve both your daughters in those in their own ways, in their own roles, in their own seasons of life, and to have that motherly.
Yeah, and to recognize the differences in them and mm-hmm. Be able to be there for those differences.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That they both matter in that way. Right. Yeah. Sweet. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. So like I said, Lizzie and I had the opportunity to meet in Life Group, and so I got to learn a little bit about Lizzie and her journey into motherhood. And so when I approached her, I said, Lizzie, I would love for you to share your journey, and I'm just going to leave that there. So, Lizzie, can you share your journey with us, please?
Of course I can. So when Kaylee asked me to be a part of the panel today, I was honored. She asked me to be as authentic as possible and share how my journey to motherhood wasn't fluid. And it was actually a battle that broke me to my core for many years. And so I want to also start by acknowledging the women that are in their season of waiting to become mothers. And whether that's you're navigating through infertility or treatments or you've experienced a loss, Westside has been a beautiful place for me, and it's a beautiful place for you as well. You can be seen, you can be heard, and you can be loved here. In past years, Mother's Day, I have dreaded the whole month, to be honest. It really is a time that you sit in your feels and you reflect on where you are and where you aren't. And it can be a very lonely and just brutally sad experience to do year after year. In 2019, my husband and I, Nate, were diagnosed with unexplained infertility. It's a fairly vague diagnosis for couples who are unable to conceive naturally, but are unable to find a cause as to why. And this diagnosis was the beginning of a four-year battle, five rounds of IVF for us, and a pregnancy loss before we welcomed our beautiful baby boy, Zeke, to the world. And similar to Kaylee, after our third round of IVF, I experienced a first trimester loss. This loss was a turning point for me. It took me from just being a sad person to being an angry person. I was angry at everything and everybody around me. The people who were closest to me, I know, would never admit to it, but I had some moments that I was pretty unlovable in. And it was just, it was a really horrible season of grief. And so Nate and I, as a couple, decided it was time for us to take a break, step away from our treatments. My body needed a break, but also my mind and our marriage, everything needed some time to heal.
Mm-hmm. I know you, thank you, Lizzie.
Welcome.
I know that that was not easy, and I really appreciate you allowing us to have a part of that with you. So Zeke was your fifth. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know we've like laughed about how incredible he is, and then yet he was, you were told like, yeah, this may not be the one, right?
Absolutely. So Zeke was our fifth and final embryo. We had decided that this would be our last round of treatment. Physically, mentally, financially, our marriage, everything had kind of come to the end of being able to be stretched to take us to our parenthood. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we saved the absolute best for last. In November of 2023, we welcomed Zeke to the world, and he's just, he's perfection.
Yeah. He is perfection.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we are so grateful for that, but we also recognize that that's not also everybody's opportunity at times, and we are so blessed and so grateful that that is your story, and that Zeke is such an important part of that. How has, like, now that you're on the other side of treatments and, like, in the motherhood, has that, how have you managed that? Is there a lot of feelings around that? Is there a lot of...
Yeah, there are lots of feelings. When Zeke was born and they put him on my chest, I said to Nate, we did it. And it was a very simple statement to everybody in our birth room. But to Nate and I, it just meant so much that we had weathered our storm and we were out on the other side of it. And yeah. Not everybody gets to come through their storm, and we did. So mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for that.
Amen. Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Jean, I'm going to throw it back to you. Each of these ladies share that, and now I just want to ask each of you with regards to community, and what does community look like for you, and what does community mean to you in motherhood? I want to make that as broad as ever, so I want you to pick where you want to land in that, of if it's community and church, community and friends. How has that been important and needed in your motherhood journey?
It's funny. People often look at myself and my husband and say, you have four kids.
Yeah, I think that was my reaction.
And I was like, most people
four.
Do. I think even my own family said it to us when we said we were pregnant with four. They're like, are you sure? I always respond to people saying, like, we have four because of our village, because of our community. Like, it truly would not be something that we would have been able to manage had we not had our community in our village. And it's funny, I you know, starting off in at the beginning of motherhood, you're kind of in a blur and you don't even really know what's up and what's down. And so I don't know that I fully acknowledged that being an active part of community, whatever that looked like for me at the time, was necessary. I was fortunate to go through my motherhood journey with my sister-in-law, who had her first 6 months before, and she started this like mom informal get together at her house, and she just invited like different moms at different parts of her life, and I remember going and kind of thinking like, this is kind of weird, I don't know these people and whatever, it ended up opening my eyes to what just going through motherhood with other moms and being able to, not even that people had like answers, but it was just to be able to be like, wow, you didn't sleep, I didn't sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, your kid's teething, my kid's teething. Like you could just have that experience with each other, have adult conversation. And I think that just opened my eyes to what I needed and just being able to do it. And I actually, in different seasons of life, in different, I've started different mom groups myself to be able to have, knowing that I needed it, and I kind of thought, you know, probably other people around me need this as well. And so we've been able to journey. We are so blessed. Our kids, my husband and I are so loved by family. We have incredible neighbors, an incredible school community, church community. We are incredibly blessed. Lots of people love on my kids, and that is like my number one thing as a mom that I just love to watch and truly could not have made it this far, and we'll make it through the teen years, lean on that community as well. But it's just having people pour into you, and it gives me that peace of knowing as you know, as a, in my situation, being a full-time working mom, I'm not able to be at everything for every child, every school pickup, every assembly, every game, whatever. But we're so fortunate to have such a loving community and village around that our kids rarely go without having someone there for them, and that is a huge blessing.
You and I met in a life group last year, a parenting life group in that sense, and I felt very removed in a sense from the group because we had such a tiny baby, and then you know, little people, little problems, big people, you know, as the saying goes. But it was such a good group to be in because I got to hear about these things and how necessary it was, and just the love that you even gave me in that season, that you're like, no, your season matters just as much as mine. And I always hold that true to heart, and I'm very blessed for that in that way. So thank you.
I would just add on top of that, because my experience in community has generally been within the church, from having little ones to now even having grandchildren. To be involved with multi-generational or diverse groups of people, I know in I was able to have my children cared for when they were young in nursery and taught in different programs, and now I'm able to care for other people's children, and I get to know families that way. I really, your children are a gateway for me to get to know who you are, and I really appreciate that. A previous home church that I had been involved in, myself and another lady who was a single lady who didn't have any children, we were able to get to know this little five-year-old and take her to a movie one time and give her parents an afternoon to themselves. And that was another example of being able to pour into other people's lives. And even just this week, I experienced what I would call a full circle experience where somebody who is in my life group right now was experiencing an event with one of their children that was very similar to what I had experienced probably about 10 or 15 years ago. And I was able to, I hope, encourage her and pray for her. And then that very same day, somebody else in my community who is about 15 years ahead of me with grandchildren was able to then encourage me as well. And just let me know, just speak to how God is faithful, and just gave me that encouragement. And so I really appreciated seeing both sides, being able to encourage somebody and being encouraged within my community. And it's just really, really great to be involved in different ages and stages.
Mm-hmm. That is like, oh, the beauty of church is that multi-generational experience and how we get to. And I'll never forget, even in the mom group, there was one day somebody looked across the room at me and they were like, oh, do you have advice on da-da-da? And I was like, no. You need somebody with a little bit more. It just felt like so natural because they were like early in their stage and in that sense. And it's just amazing how like it is just this domino, how we just like can give back and fall back on each other in that way. And I loved hearing your perspective and when we got to chat on the phone, for you to unpack that and talk about that and to see that over the years and experience that full circle. Thank you, Sherry.
Can I go?
Yes.
Okay. So during our season of grief, we stopped attending church. It was also during the pandemic, so it was really easy to say we're not going to church because of COVID. But really, I was pretty mad with God. I would pray often and ask, why are you doing this to us? I'm drowning. When do you throw me a life raft? And it was during this season that I ran into our very own Matt Collins. And if you know Matt, kindness and community run through his veins. And he extended an offer to come to Westside. And he said, I think you'd really like it. It's a great place. There's familiar faces for you. And first and foremost, Matt will always be Pastor Matt to me. And now I get to call him a friend as well. And he went so far to say that if you need some company, I'll sit in the back row with you. Just come and experience it. And that simple offer completely changed the trajectory of my relationship with faith. I stepped back into church and into the community of church. From our first Sunday, we knew this is where we were meant to be. Most Sundays, I would sit in the back row. I would cry from the beginning of worship to the end of worship, but it became a very safe place for me. And so when we were transferring our fifth embryo, it was a Sunday morning. We were in our usual spots at the back, and they called to say, you're pregnant, congratulations. And for moms who have experienced loss before, like Kaylee spoke about, you become more fearful. And every day of my pregnancy, I woke up with fear. And so during that season, we joined a life group. We felt like we needed more church than just Sunday. We needed it to spill into our week. And I'm biased. I think we have the best life group possible. They prayed with us and they prayed for us. We had some complications near the end of my pregnancy, and they just loved on us. After Zeke was born, they delivered us food so we could eat. And Matt's matching bookend is Kaylee. I think if you look up girl power in the dictionary, she's there. Her passion and commitment to moms at Westside is just felt and appreciated by so many of us. And she invited me to come to Mom Connect. And I like to be a wallflower. I don't like to put myself out there. But I came, and it has just been a beautiful community. They've loved on me, they loved on Zeke, and I just have this beautiful village that are helping me raise Zeke and navigate first-time parenthood.
Thank you, friend. That was beautiful. I really appreciated that. And it's been a pleasure to have you in Life Group as well. And I love that you, both you, all of you, put emphasis on that and how we can go deeper than a Sunday. And sometimes we are in seasons where all we have is Sunday, and that is okay. But I do encourage a lot of people, if there's the opportunity to go further and to allow people in and that vulnerability, to just reach out and to do that, and that can be done in life groups or serving and joining connect groups, those kinds of things. Well, our time seems to have flown, but I would love to just like end on one more question. If each of you have, and it can be related to community, it can be related to motherhood or whatever, if you have like that bottom line one piece of advice like you want people to know, what would it be? And Lizzie, you have the mic. I'd love to have you go first.
I think just lean into a community, whatever that village is that you have around you. They are just, they're your biggest cheerleaders, and they're just going to get you through the good days and the tough days as well.
I would just say love your kids. That's putting your testimony, your faith into action. Love your children.
Mine would say, this too shall pass. On those challenging days, lean into your community, your village. Maybe they can pick up the slack on a day where you're just not picking it up, but this too shall pass.
Yeah. I know like we don't applaud a lot in church, but this was a big deal for these guys, so please. Thank you. And after... after the service, they're going to hang out here for a little bit. I just put that on them. Please come say hi. Please come give them a hug if they want it. And just make sure you extend that. And I'm just going to pray to finish. And I just want to thank you for being a part of today, that we could have this family moment together. And although our motherhood, our community conversation is around motherhood, communities for everyone. And that's the purpose and heart for us here at Westside, is that we desire for everybody to feel a part of community in some way and to feel the love of Christ extended through community. So my challenge to you this week is to just kind of check yourself in the way of how can you be doing more, or how, like, for others, or how can you be doing more to step into community to allow others in, wherever you're at in whatever your season. There are people that are wanting to be here with you and get to know you in a deeper way. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for each and every single person. Thank you for each woman here, regardless of their journey or their heart or their story with Mother's Day. Lord, thank you for being a God bigger than those feelings and emotions. And thank you, Lord, for being able to shoulder those hard days, those tears, and those days that are filled with joy and laughter and praise. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for everything that you are to us. And we just ask that you bless this service, bless this week, and bless the day as we celebrate women in our lives in whatever capacity that looks like. In your name, amen.